The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
All right, brothers and sisters, good morning. Welcome to Remnant as we continue the Connection series. I call this one Building the Connection with God. And I need to say this before I get into the word, is that you need to know the God we serve. And what I mean by that is where it all started. See, the God we serve is a powerful, mighty God. There's nothing He cannot do. And on the top of that, there's nothing we can do with Him in us. We're more than victorious. We're joint heirs, ambassadors with Jesus Christ. And you need to instill that in your spirit, in your soul, and in your life daily. Know who you are and who you belong to. I get excited up here. Man, I heard you guys singing right now. I could just see us next to the angels in heaven worshiping Him. That's what God wants. Sing to Him. He wants to see how much we love Him. Because our weeks, our days just getting here this Sunday could be horrendous. I had a very busy week this week in my fleshly normal life. But in the mix of your day, you can praise Him, sing to Him, talk with Him. Talk to people about God when the opportunity's there. You need to know who God is. He's always there. Reminds me of a story as we turn to Mark chapter 12. That's where I'll be reading out of. Mark chapter 12, verse 10 through 11. In connecting with God. And before I read the scriptures, there's a story of this man, an athletic man. There was almost nothing he cannot do, athletic-wise, if that's a word. He can climb mountains. He was a bike rider. He did these long runs. He almost felt invincible. This man was just athletic. There was nothing he could not complete and win most of these courses. So here one day, he hears about this mountain climb. There's a lot of guys and girls out there, and they get out there, and he gets out there and goes, oh, I got this. I serve a mighty God. He's always been with me. I trust Him all the way. Get out of my way. Puts his gear on, starts slapping up, starts climbing up this huge rock. The wind comes, starts getting dark. He's seen some of the climbers just retreating. Some didn't even try because they knew what was coming. And he was just bold, man. He went up there and started climbing in his boldness and partly in his pride. And there he goes. Starts getting cold and dark. Then the rain comes, and this guy's just not giving up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And no, the weather overtakes him. It gets really wet, and he's slipping, and he's clinging. And the rope, of course, is holding him. And he doesn't want to give up. And finally, he slips. He couldn't take it, falls. Bam, there, hanging on the rope. He's hanging on the rope. Dark, can't even see his hand in front of him. He's just holding on to the rope, clinging for his life. Few hours go by, and then he decides, God, help me. A few hours go by, no, mind you. Then he says, God, help me. Because he tried to get out of there by himself. And he's clinging to the rope. God, help me. No answer. All day, God, help me. Finally, at the end of the day, if I may say, God, help me. God says, what, son? What you want me to do for you? Help me, God. Don't you see where I'm at? What do you want me to do? Help me, God. Nothing. The next day, the guy's just dying, hanging there from pressure. God, help me. What do you want me to do, son? Help me. I'm hanging here. I'm stuck. What do I do? God says, cut the rope. The guy goes, no. God, help me. Cut the rope. God, help me. Cut the rope. That's all he kept getting is cut the rope. Of course, a few days go by. And he dies there. A week later, some guys are walking through that same mountain, walking by, see a guy 2 feet off the ground, clinging to the rope. He didn't cut the rope. He was right there, 2 feet from the ground. See, that's the God we need to trust. And today, many of us need to cut that rope. We're clinging to stuff. We don't want to let go and connect with the living God. And he's telling us, cut it. Cut the rope. Amen? And it brings me to this text that I'm just going to interject and pull from it. It's not in context, but I like what it says. Mark chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. And it's in red. What does it mean in red? Jesus is speaking. So this is from our Lord Jesus Christ telling us this morning. Mark chapter 12, verse 10 and 11 reads like this. Have you not even read the scriptures? This scripture. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. Jesus Christ is the center cornerstone of life, period. Everything is built around him. The Bible clearly says everything was built by him, for him, and through him. This is the God we need to connect to. People tell me, well, Frank, who do I pray to, God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit? You know what I tell them? Pray to all of them. This morning I was in prayer. I said, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me preach this morning. I name them all. I want all that he can give me. But it doesn't matter. And he's the cornerstone we should build on. And these people were rejecting him. And I know all of you in this room, in your lives, in your little worlds you confine in your day, in your week, you're seeing this Jesus getting kicked to the curb. The government is telling us what to do. Jesus Christ is slowly getting squeezed out, but it has to come to fruition because that's his return. That's going to be the culmination of his return because it's going to get worse. But we need to cling on to this stone the world is rejecting. Our foundation is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our strength, our source in our life. He should be the cornerstone, the first thing in your life. You know what a cornerstone did back in ancient days for buildings? That was the first stone they laid to build on it. Jesus Christ is that stone we need to build our lives on. Christians should build together with. Churches need to come together and build with. Just like this Casa Caritas, that's another branch of that cornerstone we're building here through Remnant. Some of you that serve in ministry, it's the same thing. You're making the building of Christ grow centered on the cornerstone, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Are we awake? I am. I'm excited. Can't you tell? This is awesome scripture. Guys, we're living in interesting times. You're the last Jesus people are going to see. But what cornerstone are you trusting when you leave these doors? What are you showing the people you live around with? That you trust this cornerstone in those hard times? It's easy to worship him when it's good. Connect to him when it's tough, when you see it impossible. I've been there. Wasn't easy, but I lift up my hands crying and say, I trust you, God. I'm cutting the rope. And he caught me every time. He caught me every time. He'll catch you all the time. Doesn't matter where you're at and what you've done. Cut it. Let him caress you in his love. The Bible says he takes you in the shadows of his wings. His feathers are holy and powerful and loving, caressing arms. That's the God we need to trust and connect with. People struggle, don't believe, doubt, worry, see the situation instead of the Holy Spirit of God. I can't even get to my notes here. We must believe the God we read about and hear about. Let me tell you the God I believe in. I believe in the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end, the first and the last. The God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. What did this God do? My God, he spoke things into existence. He took chaos and made something out of it. He took our grungy little lives and making something out of it. He'll take ashes and make beauty. He parted the Red Sea. He healed people. He did miraculous signs. There was battles to be fought. He stopped the sun. There's nothing this God can do. And let me tell you, friends, he still does miracles today. Jerry said it today. You guys have seen the miracles he's done. But we need to stay connected to that God. Just because he did your miracle, you're going to go on your little happy party? No. Pray for others. Continue in the battle. Born with others. We're a body. That's the God I believe in. We can't believe in God and be disconnected to him. That's kind of an oxymoron. Look at the God that says he's in the Bible, Isaiah 48:17. This is God. Isaiah 48:17 reads like this. This is what the Lord says. You remember the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who what teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Why did I go to the Old Testament? I'll tell you why. Because in the scripture prior that I opened up where Jesus is speaking, you know what Jesus said? Didn't you not read? Do some of you read your Bible? Jesus directly commanded us. He's reading it. He's telling us, did you not read what it says in here? Life is in here, folks. Your answers to life are in here. The answers to your situations, your struggles of having to cut the rope, the answers are in here. And Jesus said, did you not read? That's telling me I need to be in the Word. That's telling me I need to be living and connected to this God I supposedly praise and worship and live for. You know what? The old Frank has to die every day because that old man wants to rise up and do all the wrong things. There's a commercial, I think it's Geico, where there's a zombie talking to a girl and he's just falling apart. I'm not a zombie. And here he falls off. I'm a zombie. There's people out there like that. They're dead. We need to die to that old person. You're a new creation now. And you need to stay connected to this mighty God, this invisible God. Well, Hawkeye, I can't see him because he said you'd never see him. He's an invisible God. How would you trust if you could see him? Jesus gave one person the chance, doubting Thomas. No, I don't believe you. Well, look, put your hand in here. Look at this hole they stuck in me. Oh, yeah, you are real. But Jesus said this, blessed are those that haven't even seen me. You know, when I pray in my prayer time, I say, Lord Jesus, I never seen you, Jesus. But oh, man, I believe in you. I know you're right there. That should be a prayer. Know that he's right there. And we so quickly disconnect and want to hold on to that rope like that mountain climber. I hope we can all leave this morning, not like this mountain climber, dead in our transgressions and not letting go. My prayer all week was that you guys walk out of here letting go and let God hold you, caress you, carry you. Don't do it on your own. You cannot do it on your own. We need each other, folks. You need to be in church every Sunday. You need to be plugged in midweek somewhere. You need to be daily in your word, at least a scripture. Memorize one all week. Amen. We can't believe in God and be independent of God. You can't be on both sides. You can't, folks. You can't. Connection and independent are opposites. You can be independent and connected to God at the same time. Look at what connection means. Dictionary, connection. The action of linking one thing with another. The act or state of connecting, joins or relates, link or bond, a relationship or an association. That's what we need to be connected to God. What does independent mean? Which many people live by. This standard, being Christians or believing in the God. They try to live independent as well. Independent, not influenced or controlled by others in matters of opinion, conduct, etc. Thinking or acting for oneself. See, you got to be one or the other. You're the dependent and believing and connecting with this God we preach about out of this Bible and that we so proclaim live daily. Or you're actually just living independent and only come worship him when you want to. Or when you think it's needed. Or when the times are ugly. Worship him when it's good too and thank him then. Because other things are going to come, folks. It's not always pretty. Jesus said in this world you will have troubles. And that'll prepare you. If you're prayed up and you're thanking him through the good times, of the storms come, you're in the storm and you're sleeping with Jesus like he slept in the storm. Because if Jesus could sleep through a storm, so could we. My wife's last week of her death, I would lay with her and sleep good. Because she told me where she was going. I knew where she was going. We were just confiding, connected with the God that told us where she would go after she'd pass. I slept good. Matter of fact, she was up most of the night. She said, man, you snore a lot. You move a lot. And my wife was dying. That's the peace you can have. Death is not a pretty thing. Tell me. Let me tell you. It's not easy, but you can get through it. Problems are not easy. Financial struggles are not easy. Marital problems are not easy. Whatever your situation, but God is there. Trust Him. There was times, I don't know how my wife made our check stretch. Sometimes we had a dollar in our bank account, but we ate, bills were paid. Honey, how did the bank account stretch? She goes, I don't know, I'm just praising Jesus. Man, she had a strong faith. My faith is strong because of my wife. She was an awesome example to me. We should be examples to each other. Through her, she taught me who the God she was connected to. So I started practicing that. We need to stay connected to this mighty God, not independent. I made a lot of decisions before Jesus Christ was in my life, and I thought some of them were good, and they were all bad. They were all wrong. It was good for a little while when I lived with my prior ex-wife and children. The lifestyle I led, it was good for a little while, but there was always fights. There was always indifferences. There was always just something bad or not good. Fights between the family, bills not getting paid, getting evicted, losing a car, you name it. Strung out on alcohol and drugs and lying to my wife. Bad decisions, bad choices, because God was not in my picture and in my life. I needed something, and I was searching and seeking till Jesus found me. And He opened my eyes. Come on, cabezón. Oh, here's a Spanish word. That means big-headed. Cabezón. Another one. Cabezón. Big-headed. Open your eyes. I'm right here. He was always there. Finally, I said, okay, Jesus, come into my life. And boy, He's been just a tidal wave in my life. He's been taking me through some storms in life. I tell people, pretend you're a bass fish in the river of life. Bass fish go against the current, not with the current. Bass fish see all these fish going the other way. Bass fish go against the current. Christians should live against the current and connect with God. Amen. Give Him glory. Give God glory. He's speaking to us this morning. He wants to encourage us. Church is to hear from God. Learn what God has to say to us. Learn from each other how to stay and live connected to this God. We need to seek Him all the time, not only when it's good, because we can forget Him. A lot of times we forget the Lord. Look what He says when God looks down, Matthew 5:18. God probably looks down at us sometimes and says these words, Matthew 15:8. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know what that means? That means to me, like when you were singing right now, I was drumming and I almost wanted to stop and lift my hands. I need two more arms to drum and worship. You guys were crying out to the Lord. He shows up when you're real and genuine. Because if you're just here for showboating, oh, I want my sister or my uncle or my neighbor or that person thinks I'm real holy. We do that. Don't do that. Mean it. Cry to Him. Bring Him your situations. And if it's good, thank Him to prepare you for the next storm, folks. He's right there. He's right there. We should always see God. God created us to know Him personally. Did you know that? He created you, all of you. I can point out there. I pointed at everybody. Quick fingers. And back there, thank you, Richard, Ronnie. He created all of us at a personal level. He knew what your name was going to be, who your family was going to be, how many kids you were going to have. God is omniscient. He knows everything, and He's everywhere at all times. Look what He says in the Psalms. 139:13-14 says this. Psalms 139:13-14. You created every part of me and put me together in my mother's womb. Can you honestly, where you're sitting at, believe God started fashioning you when mommy and daddy conceived you. I do. I didn't, but now I do. I go even this further. I knew I was in heaven one time, and God says Frank's going to be born on 1963, and this is going to be his life, and then he's going to end up in Remnant and be screaming at people. And I'm good with that, and I believe that. Because in other scriptures, he says he knew us before we were even conceived. He spoke it all. You serve a God that the stars you see at night, the universe, all creation, it's his. That's who made you. That's who loves you. That's who will always be there for you. People will let you down, folks. Our loved ones will hurt us. Our mommies, our daddies, our uncles. They're going to say some hurtful things sometimes. Events will take place in families that are harsh and ugly and hard. But if you hold on and cling on and connect with this God, you're going to be okay. My life ain't perfect. My family's far from perfect. But I can smile through it. I can sleep in the boat with Jesus with all this turmoil going on. Because we bring this mountain and giant. And God's trying to move it out of the way. We put it back. God says the next morning, okay, I'll move it again. And you're like, I'm worrying. Put it back. The next morning, God moves it again. And then we're worrying again. God says, what are we playing, chess? Back and forth, back and forth. Cut the rope. Cut the rope. Finally, my first point. How do we get connected with God? It's simple. Be honest. Ouch. That hurts. Because when I started studying this week, I wanted to search for a good first point. God says, be honest. Oh, God, not that one. No one can be honest all the time. That's the first key, folks. Be honest first with yourself and then all those around you. And I tell the guys at work this because God is always watching you. They caught a guy stealing gas at our company. And he was, guess who he came to first? I'm the pastor at work now. They caught me in Spanish, it's capín, chaplain. Vayan con el capín, go to the chaplain. Okay, come here. I'm not going to tell them, no, I'll pray for them. They want prayer. I know they messed up. I've messed up. They didn't fire him. They didn't fire him. They fired a guy last year, same situation. And this guy stole three times. The first guy only stole once, and he was gone. 2 days later, I'm opening up the warehouse around the back. He comes up to me crying again. A non-believer, mind you. Puts his hand on my back. He goes, Frank, I always said things about you when you weren't around. I thought you were this fake Christian. Yeah, he bagged me. Ah, godly man, Christian, whatever. And he came running for prayer. I didn't judge him. I had to show him Christ. And I hugged him. I said, let me pray for you again. He's coming around. But he goes, I can see you're real. I know God's in you. He said this, not me. And I want to cry because I know who's talking to me. And you know what he's telling me? Be honest. See, when we see events take place, we need to learn from it. Sometimes you see things, say, oh, I'm going to try that. No, don't, not stealing gas, but you know what I mean. That looks pretty cool over there. Oh, it looks like they're having fun. I was at a wedding last night. Did a wedding. They looked like they were having fun, drinking. I leave after a while. It looks fun, but later on, that'll bite you. I live that lifestyle. I don't have nothing against it. I just don't live that way no more. You see, I know who I'm connected to, and I want to cling. I don't want to let go because I know he's going to get me through it. He's got me through many, and he's going to keep getting me through more because I know the God I live for and trust. That's the God we need to cling on to. Be honest. And know that he exists. I skipped a point. Hebrews 11:6. You need to believe that he exists. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Paraphrasing, because this was my first memory verse as a Christian. 1 year into my walk. Hebrews 11:6. And I've worded it closely, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he exists, and he'll bless you all the time. You need to know that he's real. And then in due time, your time will come. He'll move in your life. But you need to stay connected. You can't live Sunday to Sunday and just forget about God during your week. You can't forget to read your word. And live for him. You need to know that he exists. And he's in your life. You need to set your minds on things above. It says in Colossians 3:2. Because the second thing in getting connected and believing that he exists is that your mind is a battlefield, folks. Let me ask you this. How many thoughts do you think you have a day? Any wild guesses? I was flabbergasted. I don't know what word to use. I was shocked and awe. Roughly, you know how many thoughts we have in a day? Talking about a battlefield in our minds, 20,000 thoughts. From the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, 20,000 thoughts. Out of 20,000, how many times can you remember you talked to Jesus or prayed or read a scripture or thought about God? Because sometimes I'm just walking from one office to another and saying, hey, God, thank you. You're awesome. I know you're with me. That's a thought. Chew on that one for a little bit. Start changing your way of thinking. Because a lot of times we'll walk from one area to another or go through our day thinking, oh, it's all kinds of other stuff. How am I going to get through it? I don't like him. I need a raise. Oh, my husband is not doing what he needs to be. My wife doesn't cook enough. You name it. Remnant always starts really late. All kinds of thoughts. Flip them around. Make them spiritual thoughts. Lord, I know Remnant's going to start a little late, but I'm going to hear from you. Lord, I know I don't like that person much, but you're going to give me the strength to get through it. Lord, I'm struggling with this, but I know you're going to help me get through it. Because I'm connected to you, God. I'm not connected to that no more. Those are thoughts. Our mind is a battlefield. And why be connected to God? Why? John 10:10. This is out of a New Living Translation. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. John 10:10. Jesus is talking. That's why it's important to stay connected to this God. Oh, cool. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to win the lotto. Woohoo! No. The word rich is not that. Jesus said, he said he came for the sick. Not to make us rich, to give you a rich life, a spiritual rich life. A strong life in Jesus to make you strong to stay connected to him and letting go of that rope of those things that are holding us away from God. See, he's going to make you rich spiritually. He's going to make you stronger daily. I tell people this and I repeat it up here. It's like weightlifting. You're going to start growing if you keep up the practice, the routine of knowing who you should stay connected to. He wants you to be connected to him. And a satisfying life. I've had a pretty good satisfying life up to right now. I am happy. I'm blessed. I got problems, but I could still smile. Because I got my beans and rice and Jesus Christ sometimes. Times are tough sometimes. You can't get the carne asada or go out to dinner or something. Applebee's, beans and rice, Jesus Christ at home. It's all good. Those are satisfying times for me. Because I know he's there. And he'll smile on you when you're confiding in him in those beans and rice Jesus Christ moments. Because later on, he'll bless you. Hang in there. Don't forget about him. Stay connected. See, rich and satisfying life means he's going to give you more than you even expected. He's giving me more and then some. There's a prayer in the Bible where it says, Lord, pour a blessing into my home I cannot contain. And God says, test me in that. I don't test him anymore. Even though I have enough to get by, I say, oh God, my home is filled with your presence. My car is kind of running okay. My motorcycle is great. My girls and my children are okay. My family, thank you. It's overflowing. And sometimes we want more. You think your cup's half empty. I see mine half full. Be happy in what you got. Satisfied. He has you right where he wants you. He has me right where I know he wants me, at Remnant, drumming for him and preaching to the congregation and witnessing to my friends at work. God knows I will not shut my mouth. Almost every morning when I'm going to get up, I know the enemy hates when I get up. He goes, oh, here comes that guy. Once his feet are hit the floor, attack him because this guy don't shut up. And before I touch him, I go, Jesus, thank you for another day. I am your soldier. Let's go take him down. Because he's going to attack. He's got an army too. But this is our shield, our buckler, the word of God. They're going to hit, but they're not going to penetrate. And you need to believe that if you're connected to this God. They're just going to bounce off like ping pong balls. Problems and situations will come. But they can bounce right off. This is my strength, my shield, my source, my connection. Like plugging a cord in, I like our design. I'm plugging into Jesus before I hit the ground. And once I'm plugged in, I know my day. You know, I got to work yesterday, and one of the persons was having a bad day. Their office is right in front of me, and the guy has papers, and the phone's going. It was crazy at work. I almost didn't make it to the wedding. Long story short, he bangs a little hard, and I'm just looking at him. He goes, Frank, don't look at me. I go, why? I should have prayed today. It's going bad. And you're smiling over there. Well, I connected before I left home. You want some connection? Want to pray for you? I prayed for him. His day didn't get better, but I did what I was supposed to. My day was horrendous, but I didn't care. And by 4:10, I needed to be at the wedding at 5. At 4:10, my last delivery, my last hour was gone. God was testing me. Frank, cut the rope. Just fall. I'll get you there on time. And he did. I have a couple of witnesses here. They'll tell you about it, I'm sure. So now you're connected. Now you live. You need to live connected, which I said, be honest. Second point is live connected. 1 John 1:9. How do we stay honest and live connected to God? Be honest. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. See, folks, excuse me, a lot of times we don't want to say everything, and that's what holds you down. You let it out. Tell it. Confess it with someone. We all know we have some skeletons in our closets, and God is good with it. He just wants you to confess it. And that's where you start connecting and living for God, and you have more peace. You can walk around your chin a little higher because you got a clean slate. Oh, yeah, he did this. Yeah, he told me. Oh, yeah, he's done that. Yeah, I know. I have nothing to say about you. But when you start closing up, hiding things, and not opening up, you're going to be struggling. You'll find yourself not connected. You need to stay connected. Live honest. Third point. My third point is this. Now you get connected, you're living connected. How do you stay connected? Know your identity. I said that in the beginning. What do I mean by that? Know your identity. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. A lot of you know it by memory. I never memorized this one, but I can paraphrase it, but I have it here. 2 Corinthians, thank you, sister. Thank God for sisters. When I go and visit my sister that just came up, we always hang out on Sundays. She goes, brother, don't talk. Let us talk. You talk too much. Stay connected. How do you stay connected? Know your identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. There it is. It's that simple. Know who you are. You're a Christian now. You're a follower of God. You live for God. So now you've gotten connected, you're living connected. How do you stay connected? Know who you are. It's like a screwdriver and a hammer. Huh? What does a screwdriver and a hammer have to do with spiritual walking and living for God? I was a screwdriver before Christ. And I'm not talking about the drink. I'm talking about the tool. Why a screwdriver? Because I was screwing everything up. I was screwing around with all the wrong things. I was unscrewing the things I shouldn't have. Like hurting people, stealing, lying, cheating, throw all my life before Christ. Then I became a Christian. But a lot of Christians still want to be the screwdriver and not the hammer. The screwdrivers are screwing. You cannot hammer a nail with a Phillips screwdriver. Well, I've tried and I broke the handle. I know some of you guys can say, no, that's what I'm trying. I hit it with the back end. But a hammer works a lot better, don't it? See, there's a lot of people walking around professing Christ, saying they're connected to God, but still a screwdriver. You're a hammer now. It builds. It hammers things in. It'll break things apart that are holding you back. See? You're not a screwdriver no more if you're a Christian. You're a hammer. Like MC's Hammer said, hammer time. Dun, 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 dun. However he danced, I don't know. Forgot Jerry's dance. It's hammer time, folks. You're not a screwdriver no more. You're a new creation. Let's quit screwing around and living for God. Let's make people know you're a hammer now. Because, boy, a lot of people in my life know how screwed up I was. As a matter of fact, at this wedding, there was a friend I saw, I hadn't seen in years. And he's a drummer too. And he walks into the wedding. I'm standing there and he goes, this guy's doing the wedding. And prior Friday night, we had to practice. Another guy walks in. I know that guy. He's the pastor. What? Wait a minute. I'm in the wrong house. They were confounded. Why? Because they knew my screwing around life. They knew my life when I was a screwdriver. And in a nutshell, I gave them my Jesus Christ lecture of my hammer life now. They were just, the guy last night, the witnesses here, hugged me. He goes, you got to come visit me in my work. Bring me one of your CDs. I got to hear from you, man. He was just blown away. And that's God's power. I mean, I hadn't seen this guy in years. And he was, man, I felt his love. And you know what I felt? He needs Jesus. And I'm going to witness to him. I'm going to start praying for him. I'm going to visit him next week. I think he knows it's coming. Because he heard me speak a little bit. And he wants to hear from me. You got to come. He goes, come visit me, please. I'm going to go visit him. They see Jesus Christ. I didn't want him to see the old Frank, the screwdriver. I wanted him to see the hammer for Christ. That's why they call me the toe crusher. Because I want to speak boldly for God. I want people to know I'm a hammer now, not a screwdriver. I want to speak God's word as faithfully, as honest, as for text scripture and for what it says, face value. Not only that, live it. And it's hard. It looked like they were having fun last night. But as me and my friends were sitting there, we're like, we're having a good time too, drinking lemonade. We had a great time. You don't need that kind of stuff to have fun. You can have fun without it. Because Jesus is the one that gives you the joy, the peace. When you're connected to him. It's okay to go to some of these weddings and parties. Just don't do what they do. Show them the light. Jesus says you don't take a light or a candle and put it under. You put it on top. Let it shine. Christ sat around with the worst of them. Tax collectors. Whoremongers. Heathens. And he just sat there. He was a light. I know people saw us. Well, they saw me. They were shocked. No way that guy's going to do the wedding. I know who he is. That's who I used to be. I'm a new man now.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You